Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, and welcome to another episode of Hashtag My Investing Story. My name is Ann McNeil, and I am the Master Wealth Builder, helping to build stronger and better lives and businesses, along with my co-host, Ms. Iona McNeil. We're very excited to welcome you to another episode of my Hashtag My Investment Story. Ione, myself, and our special guests actually are all volunteers with Better Investing. And if you've been following us or listening, you might know that Better Investing is, I think, the number one 501c3 educational not-for-profit organization that helps individuals learn how to analyze stocks and how to invest as an education. We're not stockbrokers. We're not selling anything. We're not day traders. We're simply volunteers with this phenomenal organization. And so Jackie Perry Pierce, it's an awesome opportunity to finally hear your investing story. We've been friends and volunteers with Better Investing for a very, very, can I keep saying very, very, very long time? We'll tell our listeners how long it's been. We'll let Ione pull that out of you tonight. But it is such a pleasure and an honor, Jackie, to be here with you. And it's been years since we've seen each other, even though we live not that far apart. But as you know, you are a world traveler, and we're glad that you decided to take some time and share some time with us tonight. So we're going to go ahead and turn it over to Ione. But before we do that, we want to encourage all of our listeners to please comment, like, and share the show. Comment, like, and share the show. And we want to remind our listeners that are listening in live on Facebook that you are listening to the hashtag My Investing Story. And you can actually search and Google hashtag My Investing Story and have the benefit of many of the previous podcasts that we've had. It has been a phenomenal experience to share the stories of many of our volunteers and many of our friends, old and new friends, as a part of this episode. And so with that, I want to introduce everybody to our boss. That's none other than, yes, Ione McNeil. Good evening, Ione McNeil.
Good evening. Thank you. I guess boss is one of my many titles. None of them self-titled, but it is my pleasure this evening to have an old friend, Jackie Pierce. How you doing, Miss Jackie?
I'm good. How are you this evening?
I'm good. You know, I have to ask, first off, are you on the east coast of Florida or on the west coast of Florida? Because
wait a minute, I almost said it wrong. I am on the East Coast. I am home. I've been home. My journey in the West Coast of Florida ended just in time, you know, because I was home when we couldn't leave home anymore.
Right.
So it's good, yeah. I'm home.
How has it been to be home? Because you were traveling for a long time.
It took a minute to adjust, but to be honest, I was glad to be home.
And probably glad you have a home.
Yes, got to be in my house and not sharing someone else's home and stuff like that. So it was a good place to be, and the timing was perfect. So.
Excellent. So one of the reasons I wanted you on as a guest is because you have been a member of Better Investing for so long. When did you first join Better Investing? Do you remember?
I was trying to remember. 96, 97 is about the time I joined an investment club. And that investment club, part of what they did was they were members of Better Investing, and all the members are members. Or all the partners, let me put it like that, are members of Better Investing. And so long before I became active with the chapter, you know, and everything, we constantly were a member. Yeah, so it's been a while, 1996, 1997. I was trying to remember the exact year, but I'm not quite sure.
Okay, so that's close to 30 years.
Long time.
Long time.
Long time, yeah. And joining the investment club was when I look back and think, you know how you make decisions and choices,
yes,
along the way.
Yes.
And some not so good, some better than others and stuff. And so for me, joining the investment club has been a good thing. It's been one of my better choices in life, and sticking with it, not just joining, but sticking with it and making efforts to learn.
Mm-hmm.
because the better investment thing, that's what it's all about. You know, you learn some basic skills that you can then take and do things with, whatever works for you with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about those choices. Good and bad, if you're open to it.
You mean life choices?
Okay, or money choices. money choices, both good and bad.
I could just start back and say that very early on, you know, I grew up in a small town in Arkansas, went away to college. But I always had this idea that I wanted to invest, but I had zero knowledge. Zero knowledge of how to proceed. And it just happened that even my interactions with different people I wasn't attracted to people that I could learn from. And so my efforts by myself, I didn't get far at all with that. And so, you know, people over the years and all that, and a friend one day, must have been ready, a friend says, well, we have an investment club. I said, you know, let me know, you know, when you'll meet again. I'd be interested in coming. And so that started my introduction to learning about investing, basic investing, basic how the market works. And trust me, it's an ongoing, even after as many years as it's been, I still feel like
process.
I know just barely the tip. That's not something I'm covering. Just barely, just tip of the iceberg, and so that better investing was the tool that helped me learn. In terms of choices, in terms of financial choices, I don't know that I took as much advantage as an individual. You know, I'm in the club, I'm doing this and that, but I don't know that I took it enough to my other little portfolio or my whatever and applied as much learning there. So for sure, if I was to look back and say, okay, what would I do different? Given everything the same, I would make sure that I didn't just do the investment club, that I also found other opportunities to apply what I was learning more. Not that I maybe didn't do it at all, but more. And so I encourage people that I think better investment is very good for introduction, to get you started, and it may or may not be for everyone, but I encourage everyone, anyone that's not investing or not learning how to work with money, because there are all kinds of instruments, that it's never too late, and it's a good time to start.
That is a great segue to my next question, which is in a roundabout lady way, around what age were you when you joined your investment club? And what's the name of your investment club?
Three Sisters in the Name of Love. We're located in Miami-Dade County, Broward County area are our members.
Okay.
There are eight of us now. We've had up to 15. And we still have, there's three of the charter members that chartered it in 1993. So it's been around a while, and we're still going at it. We're still learning. We're still, most of us are retired now, but we're still, you know, just because we require reading, no one has just taken the money and run yet. We're still trying to grow what we have. with that. And so now what was the next question? You were getting
what, around what age were you when you joined?
We can ease off that. No. One thing I can tell you is that I am very good. You know, I have no problems about my mind. I had this relationship. I had to be my 40s.
Okay, I was going to guess that. And the reason I generally ask that question, especially right now, we are getting just so many black women in the 40, 50 age range that are finally taking the initiative and deciding to do something, you know, for themselves, whether that may be they found themselves single longer than expected, divorced sooner than expected, or a whole other host of, you know, reasons. And it's been a wonderful thing to watch. And I know, you know, your life path, I think, made you come to a similar realization as well.
Yeah, pretty much. Very independent, always been independent, always self-sufficient in all aspects of my life. From a financial standpoint, I always felt that I needed to be able to depend on me, regardless of what else was going on or who else might be going. There, that ultimately it's my responsibility to be able to take care of me if I end up and it's just me, you know. And so a lot of the decisions and direction that I took then was toward trying to ensure that I could do that, you know. So I'm a saver. I believe in saving, not talking about investing, but, you know, investing is a way of saving and growing what you save. But I believe in if I get an extra dollar, I may not save 50 cents. More often than not, I do, or I may even say something, you know. But I it's important to me. It's always important to me as I've gotten to this point in my life that I have something that if emergencies come, that I'm ready. You know, I'm not devastated and don't know where to go. And so investing was a part of that, as opposed to also just regular savings account and those kinds of same things. And again, I when I talk to youth, young people relative to me, young people, I encourage them to, even if you don't feel like you're ready to invest, start saving. Get into the habit of routinely putting something away, you know. I was talking to a friend some years ago, and you can't tell me that independent workers, you know, does project kinds of work. You can't tell me if you didn't buy a cup of Starbucks coffee one day and you saved it, but you didn't miss it. You can't tell me that. If every time you got one of your independent checks or whatever, you put $5 or $10 or whatever, that you would miss that. And that will grow. You know, we talk about that regular, doing something regular. So that once you feel like you're ready to start investing, you've got something, or at least a habit.
I think you just said that the more powerful thing really is that habit.
Yeah.
Because when you're not saving regularly,
mm-hmm.
it becomes a huge leap to go from paycheck to paycheck to overnight just in the stock market.
Yeah. Oh, you know, that only happens to one in how many? Overnight success.
And how many of us?
Even less, right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I think, you know, just staying on the topic of the habit of saving, is that something that you intrinsically learned back in Arkansas? Was it something, okay.
It was something that we did in my home. years ago at the time, even though they had little things you could get to fill them up with dimes or pennies and whatever. And so oftentimes, you know, and those were for some purpose that you would turn some in, but we would keep them, and I would keep them, and I would keep my little, you know, oh, I got a little something, let me save it here, and it would accumulate, or else we would regularly do what they would call Christmas clubs, where you could open, they could open a bank account for a young person, a child, and you would be saving for the next Christmas $5 and stuff. You know, it was a little marketing things that the banks did. So for me, saving, and I'll say that because I have two siblings, and of the three, I'm probably the most prolific saver. And then my sister saves, but not maybe at the same. and then you have the third person that, you know, it's like sand. You know, so all growing up in the same household, you still take out from what works for you. And that was just, so that did start. And so as I started to working and stuff, I always included something to save. Starting out with, well, now, okay, I can take care of this, and this, but, you know, I'm driving a car now, and stuff happens, so I need to make sure I have a little something on the side in case something happens to the car, or I need new tires. So I started out with a very distinct purpose for the savings, and then as the salary increased and as things changed, I was able to not have to be as specific about everything that I saved. Yeah.
So going back to the investing thing, and I want to hear your perspective on this, because last week Ariel and Charles Schwab did a Black Investor Survey reveal.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. So back in December 2020, they did this survey of, I don't know, 2,000 or so people, both Black and white, of different income groups, and, you know, looked at the habits, the savings habits, the investing habits, the exposure to building wealth, all, you know, most forms of building wealth. And I mean, we know the story, you know. It's the same old line, right? And the way they tell it is, we're trying to catch up. And I don't believe that, but in the study, something interesting there was revealed about Melanie Hopson actually said, and I'm going to try to quote her as best I can. In the study, they realized that whites tended to invest by a certain age as if it was a rites of passage, and blacks tended to invest at a certain dollar amount in terms of income, right? And I thought that was very interesting because culturally, you know, I think what you're bringing to light is, and especially from the Great Depression era of all of us that came through it, but especially blacks that came through it, we became great savers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one part of my question is, what do you think is missing, was missing for you to be able to have started earlier investing?
Exposure. I can elaborate, but it's all about exposure. You know, on the whole, particularly my generation, we didn't grow up with that around, with money being, you didn't come to the dinner table and talk and hear conversations about money. You know, you hear people trying to survive on whatever they had, you know, and do whatever from pay to pay or what it was to make sure they were had a roof and food and stuff like that. So I would say exposure being the biggest thing and knowing that all of these other things are exist. Because, and I still think today that some of that may be the same, but different, but still the same. You know, we have more exposure in a lot of ways, you know, but what we see is, oh, you know, he's doing or she's doing this, whatever, and making millions and millions and millions, and they quit, you know, but still don't actually have an understanding of how the system works, because there is a system there. There is some underlying, and I don't claim to know, but I know it's there. You know, and so in the more, you know, but again, you still have to have those. Even today, you know, we think about even basic things like paying bills and paychecks and knowing that you need to have some money in the bank before you can go to the ATM and get something out. You're laughing because you understand what I'm saying is that if all you're seeing is somebody go and use the card, you think that's how you go get money.
Right. You know? I mean, you know, that you raise up a really good point. I don't know the last time I heard about somebody bouncing a check.
Well, mm-hmm. But you have heard there's nothing.
They used to do it. And I think they caught
so somebody's writing checks. That's why.
Right. But I think they systematically caught up all them people by giving them the credit cards.
Yeah. Credit cards and stuff like that. So, again, to answer your question, it's exposure. The more you're exposed to the money and workings and investing, just basic, even day-to-day things, the more you know it's there to learn, and it piques the interest to learn. Because we can also, you know, I do believe to some degree that there's a two-way street, that we also have to accept responsibility. We can say they, and they didn't tell us, or they keep it, or whatever you say, you know. But we also have to accept responsibility for our learnings and what we look to and for our curiosity and how we do, and how we do.
Our curiosity or lack thereof. I mean, you know, because they don't tell us a lot of things, but when we want to know bad enough, we go looking for it.
Yeah. My other big thing is reading. and today I read most of pleasure. I don't, you know, read, but there was a time, you know, that I was hungry for all kinds of knowledge. You know, I'd read the financial books, the money books, the whatever it was that I was trying to learn about, I would. And library, bookstore, you know, I was reading. So I think that's the other thing, in terms of not looking for someone to say, oh, here, come learn this, but we have to also take it on ourselves.
Yes, I love the initiative you brought up. What were some of the books that probably made the biggest impact?
Oh, you know, actually, the Nancy books. Oh, my goodness. You're going to make me turn around and look on the shelf over here and see what's on the shelf, because I get, I'm so bad with names, with title names and stuff. I'm going to tell you a couple of things. One, that's not even money book, and Ms. McNeil will be glad to know Think and Grow Rich was one of my biggest books in terms of getting, you know, knowing and taking and making self goals and determining, you know, because once you set the goal, you got to figure out how to do it. You look for the ways to do it. Those would be, I found all the slide, look on the shelf up here because they're all still here. Nothing's coming.
And even if you can't remember the names, what about some concepts that really stuck with you to make you or help you realize how important investing was once you started learning what investing is?
The one big thing, of course, is That's what they call it, money cost, money averaging.
Okay. Dollar cost averaging.
Dollar cost averaging. You know, that's one of the biggest concepts I think out of it, and how to utilize the investing and the advantages of again, regularly and routinely doing. So that's probably one of the biggest concepts for me, just in general, in terms of getting involved with it and everything. Once you get on, get going about investing, have better investing, a methodology. A methodology is very basic, it's very clear, and by following that basic methodology, not just out there, oh, I'm going to buy this, got it, there's some method behind identifying what you're going to do and how you're going to do and all of that. And so that probably is, well, I know, not even probably, it is the biggest thing that I learned, that having that a method that you're going to apply long-term investing and not looking necessarily for quick, short-term million-dollar booms. If you hit on one, I think that's great, but the earlier you start, you know, but even starting at my early in the 40s, whenever I started, that was still sufficient time to learn and to do some long-term strategy. So I think the long-term strategy was probably the biggest thing for me.
How important is community, feeling supported?
Community
and feeling supported in order to stay in it.
I'm going to say, to me, when you say community, now you're talking about my investment club. Because we are a community. We started out, most of us did not know each other, or we knew each other a little bit. And now we are the sisters. If that makes any sense. And so that group, you know, in terms of being there and learning together and played a big role for me in terms of staying, you know, because ever how it happened, we meshed really well. So we don't have any stuff going on. You know, we're there for what a purpose. We have fun. We always make it fun. We always, you know, we laugh and joke as we work. And so I think it's very important. But you need to make sure that the community that you gather are like-minded. You know, if you're looking to grow and grow your financial knowledge, you need like-minded people. Otherwise, you'll help each other, you'll push each other, you don't have anybody trying to pull you back, and or you trying to go too fast, or whatever, you know, how it can be. So that's the other one. So if you've got your round people, and I think we all need, you know, we all excited, and then we lose that excitement. So if somebody else will have that excitement, that will keep us going until we get that, you know, that fire again. Hope I answered your question.
No, you did. And I'm going to ask this question, even though I think I know the answer, but do you think you would have stayed in it, in investing, this long had you not been a member of your investment club?
Probably not. In case, you know, I think about it, probably not, because I would have lost the drive or the incentive or whatever, you know. There were periods where it's like, even investment club. It's like, I don't want to do this today. You know, but I didn't want to miss meeting. I don't want to talk about somebody I wasn't there to hear. You know, because you never hear, you know, when you hear it later, it's never, you know, or for whatever reason. So, and I think we have, at some point in time, each kind of had that kind of period. But because we're in the club, we still were kind of coming in, maybe not as involved at that time, and that someone else has got the energy then. So, yeah, I probably not. Probably if I had an invest, but I might not have left for this morning and invested. I definitely wouldn't have been as successful. Definitely wouldn't have been as successful.
Yeah, Jack had a question. It's Ann. Can you share with us your volunteer experience? And I'd just like to know, when did you decide to become a volunteer with Better Mentoring and why?
Well, you want to, I'll give the true version. The true version is I was kind of volunteer told. Barbara.
I was told that you say that wasn't me.
Yeah. No, that's jokingly. You know,
I was volunteered by Dr. Cobb too. So.
Yeah, she's very good at it, yes. But, you know, we were at our club, different members at different times have been active in attending the different sessions and workshops and stuff that were hosted by the, at that time, Southeast Florida, but the South Florida chapter. And Barbara, I'm not even sure, but she must have been in our club. And she asked me to do something, you know, and she asked, you know, it comes, be on board, whatever it was, and I agreed. Not even reluctantly, you know, okay. and that turned out to be in a lot of ways, a good experience. I hope I brought some value, you know, with my presence at the time. But it was also a learning opportunity, a big learning opportunity. Because of when we started, in the investment club and everything, you know, it was a booming time. And there were investment clubs everywhere. And the chapter was booming and booming and booming. And then we went through the 80s major crash, and a lot of clubs dissolved as a result of that. And as a result, after that, and during the time when I was actively involved, was a time where chapter was trying to, was struggling to grow and to involve and stay involved. Appears to be another kind of peak period for interest in investing, whether it be on a club or individual. I think the technology is a system where you can still get some of that support and not have to be in a club, you know, that will keep people engaged and all of that. The chapter, I would just say that that's the main vehicle for training, local training for better investing. So it's open to anybody. You don't have to be a member of Better Investing or Investment Club or whatever to attend any of the workshops webinars, whatever they get there. Yes, there is some nominal cost for some of them. Some things are free, but the basic knowledge is that you get with the methodology and teaching the better investing basic principles for long-term investing are available. And I encourage anyone to take everyone. I still take basic. I take, you know, I just saw the day where they're offering SSG.
Yes, again, on the 17th.
And I'll probably take it again, you know,
yes.
I still can always learn something from a new technique, a new something I don't look at, you know, in terms of looking at analyzing a stamp. So anything specific anyone wanted to?
Well, the reason I asked the question is because we have a lot of volunteers who are listening to this show, and we want to say thank you to all of you that are volunteering. Mm-hmm. But we also have a lot of guests who are not that familiar with the organization, and we want them to know you can be a regular member. Mm-hmm. And actually, we also want to promote the fact that there is a 90-day free membership on the website if you go to betterinvesting.org, and we will put the link in the chat. But when you began to learn how to earn through saving and investing, we tend to want to go deeper in the education. And sometimes going deeper means serving and serving, because it is a volunteer organization. We do not sell anything. And as we learn, and then we begin to learn how simple it is, especially now. Back in the day, it used to be pen and paper. You remember that? And that's how I knew to get her started, 8 or 9 or 10 years old. But we used to have to do it by pen and paper. And so, but now it's all automated, and it's all online with that investing. And so I just want to just encourage, and that's why I asked the question of you, because you've been a long-term volunteer, and you just continue to give selflessly. And there's so many other volunteers that just continue to give. So I was just curious as to why and how long has it been from the time you joined to the time you began to serve. And I think you hit the nail on the head. Also, talk about the fact that when we volunteer, we are continuously learning. And I will be the first person to say it's been quite a while for me, and Ione is still propping me up, if you will. I don't know if she's quite enabling me yet, but parents, listen, it is not child abuse to encourage your children to learn how to invest and how to analyze stocks at their early age.
I know that's how you sound, Naomi, at a very early age. but you know, in terms of encouraging anyone that's listening, if you have any interest in learning anything about investing, whatever, check out Better Investing. And get you started, if nothing else. And it'll help you know whether you really want to know anything or not. They have tons of opportunity online. Like I said, there are, we call them chapters, but in South Florida, there's a South Florida chapter, which services the investment clubs or individuals in the area. So they provide educational opportunities. The chapter provides educational opportunities, like I mentioned, with the Better Investing webinar, of course. But make it available. The newest thing is the model clubs, the latest, not so much new, but the latest club. They're model clubs where you can actually join a meeting. You don't have to be a member, but you can come and join me to see how a club functions or what they talk about or something. I'm one of those, any little bit of knowledge, I don't care how many times I pin the same one, I'm going to learn something new every time. It's just one thing, I'm going to learn something new every time. And so I would encourage, if you're interested, whether it's a club or just individual, because I'm sure with this technology online world, we're probably growing in the individual memberships as much as even more than clubs. People training clubs and stuff.
Yeah, we are.
Really? See, you know, I'm not surprised because, you know, and then with the isolation that we're, you know, kind of forced us on it, just because. Now, I will say, because my club, Sisters Name of Love, we were a face-to-face club, but because of someone being very technical, not very technical, but somewhat technical, we were already using Zoom. We do what we call them a mid-month kind of study. And so we were accustomed to doing, to going online. And it just happens, as you mentioned about my travel to the West Coast, I didn't have to miss a meeting. And this was all before, you know, our fortune thing, because we were already utilizing and we had another member that for reasons needed to be out of state for extended amount of time and, you know, don't have to miss meetings. And so so I still would encourage that there's, even though if you're good at individual, if you're looking for, you know, find some like-minded clubs, you know, and do an online club because they don't have to be face-to-face. and they can be very effective as a face-to-face meeting, a club.
Now, didn't you join us last month for our model club? Did I see you?
No, I haven't been in a, I haven't been in a couple of months. I've had conflicts the last couple of months, but I do have a friend that's a regular there, and I do encourage people. And you talk about volunteering. Even though because I was out of town and stuff for a while, I'm not actively on the board anymore. But because of my working with the board and all of that, I've done sessions with people. Oh, you want to learn the veteran investing? Here, let me. I can give you the basics. You know, I don't be trying to. You know, I can introduce them to the SSG. You know, the basics of it and what it does and how it's formed and blah, 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 blah. And I do that just because people ask me and they're interested. And then, you know, I encourage them. We actually did your last class, the beginner's class that you did, you know, they were there. Attending the, you know, here's this session, here, that. And so my friend is doing things as an individual, but has an interest, slowly getting involved and doing things to educate them. So anyone that asks me about them, like, you want to know the basics of, you know, I let me know when you want to meet. You know, we can talk about it and we can finish it, and then I can direct them to the website. And stuff. So I do that ongoing, that stuff, you know. I will say, though, when people talk about they want to start an investment club, I do ask them why.
You and I respond exactly the same.
Well, we want to give Jackie a shout out. So people in the chat are giving her a shout out.
Miss May is giving you a shout out, Miss Jackie.
Yes. It says that you're an excellent teacher, Jackie. So we want to make sure we share that. And I think it's very interesting how we were talking about your investing story, and it sounds like it's all about better investing. I don't know if that says that your life must be so centered around better investing, that you are, that it's almost synonymous, Jackie and better investing.
I believe in it. Yes. If there's no separation there, yes. Because it works, in terms of doing it, because it has worked for me. I'm a small girl from Arkansas who had no knowledge, who can at least now not panic when the downturn comes. You know, we have major downturns. I can like say, okay, let me see what's on sale. you know.
Let's talk about that for a moment. So did you mentioned something earlier that I thought was so important, and I reflected on my own portfolio when you said one of the things that you might have done differently was when your investment club was buying or maybe not buying a stock, you would have looked more inwardly. And we want to encourage all of our listeners to listen to this story and the point she's making, because I think we can all relate to that. You know, the club has done an analysis on a particular stock and make a recommendation either to buy or not to buy. And one of the stories that comes to my mind is the story of the Beerstown, when one of the members shared in the book that she brought to the club their Walmart was a good buy, and they decided not to buy it. And she went home and bought it and eventually drove up to the meeting in her new car that she bought from her earnings from buying that stuff. And everybody wished they'd bought it then. But those are just some memories, and I think we all may have those. But if to just pay a little bit more attention to your own personal portfolio.
Yeah. And the bigger part of that is not part of my thinking was that I had a portfolio, the investment club. Did not let that doesn't have to be your only.
Oh, yes. Could you say that one more time?
Yeah, you have to also do, you know, oh, I got my 401 and I got, you know, but you still need to have your own broker with your own, where you're managing it honestly. I think that's an all-inclusive way of looking at it, not just one way or the other, but it gives you an end for all the different opportunities that that'll show up.
Yeah, I think for many of us, and I'll speak for myself, I actually used the club portfolio to start buying stocks in the beginning because I did not know. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we used to do in our chapter with Ellis Traub and many of those back in the day, at the end of each meeting, everybody would go around and talk about a stock to watch that they may have purchased or was considering purchase or had done an analysis mm-hmm. on. Mm-hmm. And that was another good way to add stocks, not necessarily to your portfolio directly, but add them to your watch list to begin to consider doing the analysis on that stock and possibly putting that stock in your own personal portfolio.
And I just want to add something else that again, I'm always learning, still learning this financial journey, is that I'm retired. And that don't mean I stopped investing. That doesn't mean I stopped saving. I still try to do pretty much almost exactly in terms of saving and all of that. And on an investing side, I'm like, oh, I just got more time. Let me put some of this energy to more on a personal side. Not messing with the 401 or whatever over there, but again, on those personal accounts that I can can play with is what I call it, you know. But at whatever amount, you know, $2 side up, whatever you have that you can do. So I don't look at being retired as a kind of stop doing and start spending, you know. I continue, you know. My goal is to live a really long time, so I need to keep really making money.
I'm with you, Miss Jackie. And actually, it makes me think of two things. The first thing is, when you first started out, mid-40s, in the 40s, whatever that was, whenever that was, how far in the future did you see back then? Did you even see yourself retired and yeah. you know, being where you are? Because I think sometimes, too,
not
we
enough.
Have to kind of
not
step
enough.
Out on faith and just...
Not enough, because that and that'd be another thing that if I was going to do different, I'd have a goal. I'd have not that I didn't have any goal. I didn't have it wasn't iron. It wasn't something like, okay, this is where I want this to be at this point in time in my life, and I would have that because that would drive me to do some of those decisions and some of those choices I would like to do. Would have done. A couple of things, you know, a few things differently. Not complaining, but when you look back, you can say, oh, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and I want to get that from you because there are some 40-year-old women that, you know, I am communicating with who are just starting out.
Yeah.
And I think that by hearing your journey and your story, you can help them see a future that they may not see and one that you didn't see when you were their age.
Absolutely, yeah. I do believe it's never too late. And as we say, start wherever you are with whatever you have. You know, you don't have to be, oh, I don't have enough to do. You know, we already talked about that a little bit. You got a dollar, you got 50, you know, put it in a jar, and that jar is not to be touched. You know, I used to call it, once it goes in the jar, it no longer exists. This way I would. That would be my middle thing. It's like, so put it over here. Then mm-hmm. It's not to, if I just run a little short next week, you know, it doesn't exist, so it's stuff like that. So, yeah, so I'm a believer because, again, knowing what I know now, I didn't even think when I started, it was late. I didn't know it was a time. I had no idea, you know. Again, exposure and being aware that Social Security is never going to be enough for you to live on. Or whatever may be in existence some point in time that you're going to have, and it was never intended, you know, from inception, source was never intended to be, to cover 100% of your living expenses. And so it behooves all of us to, you know, first of all, you plan to live a long time, don't plan anything less. And as a result, start to plan on how you're going to survive financially. That's my thought. And as we know, as our world grows and gets bigger and gets more whatever, what things cost today, it's not what it's going to cost 20 years from now or 10 years, 5, you know. Everything's going to cost more. So you still got to factor that in. And, you know, it used to be a big thing, oh, I'm going to be a millionaire, I'm going to have $1 million. Don't get too far in today's dollars.
You're right about that.
Do I need to look at somebody's chat?
No, we got it. We got it. People are restating their highlights and memorable phrases from what you said. So,
interesting.
One last question I do have, and this is just to give people, especially first-timers, new investors, a glimpse inside of an investment club. So I know you mentioned that, well, I'm assuming you all meet once a month, but you also mentioned that you do a little mid-month check-in. So can you talk about, you know, not the organizational structure, but what are just kind of some of the themes and topics, or do you have a stock watching committee? You know, talk to us about, you know, how you're kind of formed and how you go about the learning and earning together.
We have in our section, we have what we call stock study teacher, and so that person's responsibility, one of them is to help find, you know, guide us and where we're going to look, you know, maybe in industry, it may find some stuff, but it's not their responsibility to do the study. It's everybody's responsibility. In our club, we kind of look for everyone to participate. What we do, again, we better invest in, so we, you know, if you come in and you have an idea, let's say a particular stock, we do, sometimes people come with some analysis already done, some work, sometimes not, and it's not because we all have, now we do it because we all on screen, we share screen, and we'll do, you know, work through and dig and go to different places, but then we do the analysis, we do the stock selection guide on it, talk about it, but what we found, and this came across, came about over some years of volunteering and being a part of the chapter, South Florida chapter. If some club mentioned it, well, we meet another time, you know, we dig in, they were real technical, they were real, like, they had somebody in there that was, they were all in it. And so we brought it back from the session, whatever it was, and talked about it. And so over the years, we've kind of evolved where, we do what we call a mid-month stock study, and it allows us to do more analysis and more research and more looking, you know, prospecting for companies than we would do in a meeting. And so sometimes we might have an industry that we're looking at, and we may just divide. Okay, oh, there's too many. You know, there's 30 stocks. No, not 30. Let's say 10. And we divide up what's in there, you know. And when we come to regular meeting, we should have some stuff, you know. So it's not all can. I will say that we, one of the things is that we don't do things fast, you know, in terms of identifying stocks and stuff like that. And so that extra time allows us to, when we really need to dig into a company or want to industry or sector, whatever it is, then we can do it without the constraints of a regular meeting. And we do that. And then, of course, investment club is not just a club you get together. It is a legal entity, you know. it is a legal partnership with the state papers and everything. And so everything is voted on. You know, when you buy or sell or whatever, from the partnership is a vote. And so we do only voting mostly. The stock study will come with a recommendation to the regular meeting. Unless it's something that we feel is really, really hot, then we'll have we still have to vote, but it'll be a call meeting kind of vote thing like that. So again, keep things in order. We own, you know, we do the vibe, make sure it's part of the minutes and the records and everything, and how the votes go. Did that answer your question?
It did. And I'm trying to hold myself back from asking one last one, which is, how long did it take you, once you joined the club, to really gel with the club? Because I do think that sometimes, like you said, we can be very excited and aspirational in the beginning. But the reality of it, just from what I've seen, sometimes it's like 2 to 3 years.
Oh, I think you're lucky if you're 2 or 3 years, depending on the background and how much you know. You know, you could come to Girl Club with people you don't have, you've never met before. You know, for this club, it wasn't like that. In terms of, you know, everybody came in, somebody of course knew in some shape, form, or fashion. But it evolved. There are 8 of us now, but there have been up to 15. That was the max that our club allows. So we've had people come and we've had people go for whatever reason over time. But I will tell you what helped us to come together the very first time is, again, we decided we were going to have what we called our retreat. And again, it was one of those things that came up that said, we want to be able to study something or have some speakers to come in. And so the retreat wasn't just a social thing. But what we would do is we would get a suite. We started with suites so big enough that all of us could be there together. So it's an all-women's club. So think of it as a pajama party or sleepover or whatever. But it would be like a weekend, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. So, but the Saturday would always be, we've had speakers come in, we've had presentations, we always had a plan because it was all about studying them. But again, outside of the confines of a regular meeting. And you know, we might set time frames and all that, but we could always expand those and adjust them. But one of the first or second one of those is as a result of us getting together in that environment socially, because we would go out to dinner, we would cook, we would, like, you know, we'd always have a place that we could cook, you know. We got to know each other. And that didn't happen, you know, over time, as we have done that over the years, and I don't even remember now where we are in that 10 years, 11 years. It's been a while we've been doing that. Particularly with the 8 of us, you know, we just kind of know each other fairly well. But that's what helped us come together. That's why it's important that you have, you know, everybody don't have to think of, but they do have to be like-minded about the goals and objectives and why you're there. And I think I mentioned about when someone talked to me about, oh, they want to start an investment club, the first thing I ask them is why. It's because a lot of people think it's get rich quick. And I'm very quick to tell them, then what I can help you with, it's not the place for you, because it's a long term. You have to come with a different mindset. And so you want people that have that same mindset. Long answer.
Yeah, let me just.
No, beautiful.
That, you wrapped it for me.
Yeah, nobody ever told me this was for life.
Yes.
You don't get out of this. I didn't know that when I started. Thank you so very much, Ione. We're going to go ahead and wrap up. I did have another question, but I don't want to ask it
I think you should ask it. Oh. We only get to talk to Jackie Pierce.
Oh, come on. My question, Jackie, was going to be around the event. And I know you've attended the national conferences and the meetings, whether they were regionally or nationally, because I really think that you get a different perspective when you attend. I just want to get your thoughts on that. And I know your club has attended as a group, or you have representatives that go and then come back and bring the information. So right before we wrap up, and we want to thank all of our listeners and remind everybody, you are listening to hashtag My Investment Story with our awesome guest, awesome guest, Ms. Jacqueline Pierce. And Jackie is also a volunteer with Better Investing, along with Ione and I. We're actually in the same chapter. And so that, with that thought in mind, this is a very special and very different show than many of the shows you've heard us talk about, because we've talked a lot tonight about the organization and the benefits, not only from being a member, but also from being a volunteer with Better Investing. And so we really want to ask you to continue to re-listen to the show, share the show, like the show, and also comment. Because Jackie, as we wrap up, is originally from Arkansas. She shared. She now lives in South Florida for over 40 years. And I think that over half that time, she's been involved with Better Investing as long as I've known her. She's retired. And after a career in technology, she actually brought a lot of those technology ideas, website ideas, and things like that to our chapter. So we thank you so very much for that, Jackie. And we also want to give a shout out to those of you that are listening on the podcast. Thank you so very much. Please remember to join us here every single Wednesday night. Don't let this be the first time you join us live. And those of you who are on Facebook and Zoom, thank you also for joining us. So Jackie, if you want to just share your thoughts about that, and then we can go ahead and wrap up.
But I would say one of the biggest things about attending that is the interaction with people from all over. And you start, that's when you really realize that little bitty we talk about. Because you start talking to people, you think you got a good idea of handling things, and you get so much just this interacting with people in the sessions. You know, the sessions are great. Again, another opportunity to learn. But again, that interaction with all the different speakers and the different attendees from across the country. That is the Better Investing National Convention, where they get together, you know, bring together all kinds of presentations and speakers and company representatives, where you can actually, if you're going to companies that you want to know something about, you could actually talk to them. Like, well, all about learning, all about education, and one of the best unknown secrets that, you know, it's but again, it's part of Better Investing. I believe in it as a tool.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for that. We're going to go ahead and wrap up, but we want to remind everybody, please also consider joining us. Michelle, so I put the link in the chat. We are having our Financial Empowerment Seminar online this year. We did it in 2020 for the very first time, and we will also be participating in the annual meeting that will be in Texas in the fall. But in May, I think it's May, Michelle, can we get the date so we can put the link in the chat? We want to also ask you, if you are joining us on Zoom, please make sure you save the chat, because we do want to encourage you to join us and participate actually with us as we prepare and plan one of the best financial empowerment seminars right here on Zoom in May. So Michelle's going to give us the details for that, and then we're going to go ahead and wrap up. We want to thank everybody for joining, and you can also go to Eventbrite and put in Better Investing, and you will be able to get that information. So.
And I'd just like to say real quick, thank you, Ione and Magnia, for inviting me. It has indeed been my pleasure.
Aw, thank you.
Miss you, Miss Jackie.
Let's see if we can get those face-to-face. It's coming.
Yeah, and then finally, also, we want to just mention, and Ione put the information about the stock market summer experience for the youth. So we want to encourage you to stay connected, and please, everyone, please save the chat, click the link, register, and participate with us. Every week, we bring you a phenomenal guest. We also bring you excellent information that you can continue to connect. And Ione hit the nail on the head as she talked with Jackie, and she talked about the fact that this is community. And I thank for those of you that continue to join us every week. We want you to think of us as family, as a part of your family investment, education, and information. And so with that, Jackie, thank you so very much again. And all of your friends who are here listening to you, we know they're here to support you and all that you've done, because I can also truly say to everybody, you were a phenomenal help with our National Association of Black Women in Construction Investment Club that we started about 2 years ago. And so we're all a testament to your, volunteerism, selfishly, always giving.
Thank you.
And generosity.
Yes, that's a true mark of a sincere volunteer. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. Please remember to comment, like, and share the show, and join us back here next Wednesday for hashtag My Investing Story. All right? Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.